When we talk about the feminine, we understand we're talking about an open system, a receptive system. And you are part of a movement in poetry. You talk about your lineage that uses open form. I guess in America, all the open form poets can trace themselves back to Walt Whitman. Do you see this open form as perhaps a sign of the ascendant feminine?
Well, yes, that's I was talking about atmosphere and ground and space to let things, you know, come and go. And I certainly feel that in performance somewhat because and improvisation. I was speaking with someone recently about the feminine strategies of, say, the writing of Kerouac and Burroughs, that yes, while the beat male generation was somewhat macho, or they actually were not macho in the sense that they were bonding as guys, and there was a lot of sympathy and exchange and so on, but that there was something very, I think that's what attracted me in part to the writing, to the actually creative work, was this, you know, as I saw it, more feminine strategies, more rhizomic, cross genre kinds of techniques, and in particularly in Burroughs. And then Kerouac, in a way, resonates for me with Gertrude Stein, you know, following the grammar of the mind and the particularities and details of thinking. I mean, he has a much more vivid vocabulary, and he's writing out of, you know, real experience and people and characters and so on. But this idea of tracking the mind in that way, and it's, you know, it's more than interior monologue. It's you know, constantly flipping around with the tangibles in the world, sort of back inside outside all the time, microcosm, macrocosm. So that to me was attractive. And then I felt I was coming to, you know, longer form, very much, coming into longer form. It's not enough to write these little poems on the page, that the single page, the single sheet of 8.5 by 11, you know, white paper, that stark, very traditional form. Although if you go abroad to Europe, their paper size is a little different, which is fun. That kind of torques your
system
possibility
process.
And your system, yeah, and yeah, just yeah. The visual hit alone. But in any case, that sense of open field, and you get this with the postmodernists, certainly Pound is all over the place with the cantos, and then bringing in other cultures, languages, histories, investigative poetics, documentary poetics. And, you know, why is that feminine? I'm not sure. I guess it's or not absolutely feminine, but it has these tendencies to be more accommodating. And I would say when I took on the long epic poem, Iovis, that project, that was the only form in which I could, you know, tell these stories I needed to tell and track my consciousness through, you know, what, 20 years, something like that. And, you know, that I was challenged by someone in a review saying that the epic was a male form. And I wrote this to disprove that or compose, you know, in part composed it. I don't know if that answers the question, but the sense of again, they're chance operations. The work I've done with the John Cage section of Iovis, dear John Cage, what? Time me. And then there are decisions within that piece to stretch it, you know, over an hour. I can be 5 minutes. I can play with, you know, enter the text there at any point and go backwards, forwards, make it more spiral-like or circuitous. And, the breakdown of the narrative structure, which, of course, Burroughs was doing with work that was more like film than it was like writing, if you had to look at the underlying structure.
Yeah, show a David Lynch film to people 30 years ago. And
Right.
disturbing today, I think. What I'm getting at, I think, maybe is the open systems, like you discuss in the work of Ilya Prigogine. He calls them dissipative structures.
Right.
And you talk in the essay, all living things are dissipative structures. And can you tell us about that aspect?
Well, again, the open system and this, you know, coffee cup or this rock, these are some things are more open systems. Of course, as we know from science and physics and biology, incredible life that's going on at this molecular level all the time. I mean, we sit here, there are things growing on our eyelashes and all kinds of exchanges going on. So what is a closed system? A closed system is a dead, stagnant. The plastics and the stuff that we create artificially often has activity, but I guess a town is an open system. The Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics is an open system. So it's a structure that allows for a give and take of energy. And I also think of this wonderful note in the Pound era, which touches on luminous details. And luminous details are the things that sort of take us, through a sort of cycle of existence. So when you pick up a piece of glass, you can go back to it's being sand, it's being on a beach, it's being primordial, and then it's, cycled towards becoming a bottle and a factory-made item. But that these things in our world and these little, luminous details are actually alive. So in and of themselves, they're like open systems. A poem is an open system. The structure is it's not a neat little, narrative box or subject matter item that then you can neatly
control. Now you talk about the poem being an open system, but what about a traditional sonnet or iambic pentameter?
Well, it depends on the sonnet. I would say Shakespeare's sonnets are very open systems, and of course that's a amazing series, and that's really a serial poem, and it's moving. It's moving around linguistically in extraordinary ways, and there are resonances within the series and so on. And then the wordplay and the punning and the vibratory quality of the language. I don't think it's that the form of the sonnet is what confines it. But then you take that and you just keep doing it, or you imitate it. Or it becomes dogma, exactly. Yeah. So it's not that the system is at fault. And there is a sense of taking old forms and giving them new life, and or at least playing with forms and then evolving your own. And I mean, I'm working with a form right now, seen and unseen, which is a dual thing on the page, and it flips around. What's seen, what's unseen, in a literal sense, in a psychological sense, in a sense of what's being held from us in the public domain here as citizens of this culture and under this particular government. So, it touches a lot of levels, and I guess that's what I'm after. And I see that you can move that around so that the thing below moves up to the top, and that can, and this is basically a duality I'm playing with, much like Marriage is Sentence, where I'm varying the prose poem and the poem, and it's going back and forth as a argument between the sexes.
Dialogue,
one could say. Yeah.
We're talking with Ann Waldman. She's a poet, teacher, editor, and co-founder of the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics in Boulder, Colorado. More to come. You can find out more about Anne's work at the Naropa website, naropa.edu. And the new book is Vow to Poetry, Essays, Interviews, and Manifestos.